This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here with James Dumay of CloudBees.
G'day, Ian. How's it going? I'm a product manager at CloudBees. I've been at CloudBees for about 2 years now. Largely, my responsibilities within the company and within the Jenkins project itself is around user experience design, in particular how user experience can unlock new potentials in our tools. I'm also the creator of Blue Ocean as part of the Jenkins project.
You've just delivered Blue Ocean. A year ago, it was in beta. You announced today you've had 14,000 people take it on. How stressful has that been with so many people in a beta project? And where have you come in that year?
We're replacing the user experience for widely used and beloved tools. The biggest challenge here is picking what to work on. Good products and good product experiences don't get built by people saying yes very often. When you do say yes to something, you want to make sure you're saying yes to the right thing at the right time and that you have the right people to be able to make good on that promise. The most difficult part about it is just choosing what to work on. Jenkins has an incredible surface area with a diverse set of use cases, kinds of companies and open source teams using it. So you have to tread very carefully. I do often find that if you make something easier, in the last year we've been working on making continuous delivery accessible to everyone using our visual pipeline editor and the pipeline visualization. You do find that once you open the floodgates a little, people find these problems that used to be smaller problems and now are just larger problems because of the pure scale of the amount of people using it. They're all trying to drag you left and drag you right, and you've got to try and keep the ship rowing in the right direction, and sometimes there's bits falling off into the ocean and you've got to put it all back together again. It is challenging. Talking just before about we went to beta very early in the development process. Primarily, Jenkins is deployed on-premise. If we're working in sort of a cloud environment, you could do these updates daily and get the feedback. While we're doing continuous delivery, we're still not doing continuous delivery, delivering a service. We're delivering a packaged product at the end of the day. It offers different challenges in the way that we support the product. In a cloud service, if there's a bug in it one day, you get your engineers to fix it the next day, and then hopefully by the end of the day, there's a fix in there and everyone's happy. In an on-premise world, you do get these problems that come in and you stuff something up and the tail end of that might not end until a few months in the future. It's still a process of continuously improving and continuously learning that we have to do. We've come quite far in the last year. We have over 14,000 installations of Blue Ocean, so that our rough ballpark, our estimation is like one Jenkins installed to one team. So, you know, that's 14,000 teams. But in reality, on a single Jenkins server, there could be multiple teams. The real number could be some factor higher than that. I'm not entirely too sure. We need to improve our analytics tracking to know. But it's just incredible to see how open people have been to the change that we're proposing. There's been a huge response to, you know, in the past, people had to assemble their own experience, and that has its own upsides and downsides, a lot of pitfalls, in fact. So people are happy to trade an element of flexibility for this lit path because they know that when they start using the tool, they're going to be able to get more of what they want done. Over the last year, that has been resonating. I think like that bet that we made very early on has paid off in that sense.
You're caught between multiple camps here, though, aren't you? Because you're a DevOps company. Therefore, people don't expect to drop every quarter or every 6 months as they would on other people's beta programs. They're expecting you to take a bug, look at it, fix it, push very quickly. At the same time, as you said, you're working on a tool that's well known, but also in an environment where people have rolled their own tools over the years to bring different bits in. And now what you're saying to them is, we're going to work across all of the constituents here. We're going to create a tool that doesn't matter whether you're a manager, a developer, an operations guy. We're going to provide you a single tool where you all see the same thing, you all input in the same way, you all follow the same processes. How difficult was it to, first of all, find a happy line within the tool, but also then meet other people's expectations in terms of delivery and response times?
You're just talking about the tool and the use cases being suited or meaning to different kinds of people within the process of software delivery. That's a great topic. It's really about finding a common language. So if I'm an engineer, I've been in this situation. I used to be an engineer for many, many years before I found my way into product. And it's sometimes very difficult as an engineer to speak the language of business. In any negotiation, you need to be able to find a common ground in order for it not to be a transactional negotiation. If you can find common ground, then you have a way of moving forward with the needs of both parties met. And I think language plays a big part of that. when we are talking about continuous delivery and we're talking about continuous delivery pipelines, it's important for the engineers to be using the same language and have the same picture in their mind what that continuous delivery pipeline is and what DevOps is as the business people do. For Blue Ocean, we built this pipeline visualization, which is designed so that an engineer can, in simple terms, explain the value stream of the delivery of software. I have a friend of mine who's a CTO for a company in Sydney, and he was actually even having a chat with his head of marketing about like how the pipeline works. Now, this is incredibly important because every company on the face of the planet has software built in somewhere, and it's usually right in the part of the business where the value comes from. We're kind of beyond, we're not in the era like we were in the last couple of decades, since the 1970s really, since computing really became a part of business, where it was, oh, I like kind of what it does, but I don't understand it because it's kind of like nerd stuff. I think everybody who's making decisions in businesses today, they need to have a common language with their engineering staff to understand how software powers their business. And if they have that language, it means that they also have levers that they can pull. So if I know that I can go to Blue Ocean and I'm the CEO or the CTO, and I can see that, hey, you know what, our process to deliver our online store, it fails 4 out of 5 times. We're losing time. We're losing our competitiveness. It should be 10 out of 10 or 9 out of 10, right, times that we're succeeding. Having this common language allows the people who are making decisions within businesses to actually have levers and to be actually able to engage their engineering staff on the same level. And if you talk about continuous delivery to an engineer, they'll tell you it's all about delivering software. But if you talk to that CEO or CTO, it's about delivering value faster, about getting to market faster.
How do you tear that disconnect in language down then? In reality, we've tried to do this with software tools many, many times, but the business units and IT departments don't talk the same. One of the big issues is velocity here. IT has processes it has to follow. Even in the DevOps world, there are still processes, and they're there for good reason. They're to protect the company, they're to protect the data. I'm not saying they can't be improved, they can always be improved. The business unit doesn't necessarily see those processes. It looks at cloud and it knows it can go out tomorrow morning and buy the solution for what it thinks is its problem. So when you're trying to decompose to a common language, to a common UI that both sides can get involved in, what were the big challenges there?
There's some business leaders, I think, that can go buy a DevOps off the shelf. And really, DevOps is not just a tools thing, it's a people and culture concept. So you do have to have these people within the organization that are effective translators. When I'm talking about a pipeline, like when my CEO is talking about a pipeline and when my engineer is talking about a pipeline, they're talking about the same thing. There is still a role that these translators have to play within the organization of explaining, no, we can't go out tomorrow because actually we need to be compliant in some way. I think commonly what happens in software projects is things don't get thought out too well in the initial phases of like, what is it really going to take for this thing to go to completion and then to be maintained and then some years later shut down? People don't really think about the full life cycle there. Tools are a great first step. Having the common language is fantastic because it means that everyone's talking about the same thing. But to be actively being able to translate how software is delivered, I think that takes some skill sets and that some learned behavior on how to approach those things. So it's a mixture of all those different things I spoke about.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because that brings up the challenge and the difference between a user interface and a user experience. And all too often in this industry, the two kind of get used interchangeably, and they're not. You know, you've got a really nice, slick user interface that everybody can buy into, everybody can use and see what they want on the screen. But actually what powers it is it has to work for those different people in the way they function. That's the experience part. When you're talking with companies, how many of them have now started to mature enough to understand that it's not just about being pretty, it's about being absolutely functional at the same time?
People do confuse user interfaces with the concept of user experience. And for those listening, the real difference is interface is the thing that you click on a screen or touch with your finger on a phone. That's the user interface. But the user experience is actually the full life cycle. If I buy a phone from Apple Computer, the user experience isn't using the phone. It's the whole process from Apple making you think you want a phone to you deciding that you're going to buy it, to you walking in the store, to you getting greeted by the concierge at the beginning and how can I help you, and the lighting and the purchasing experience, walking out of the building once you've made your purchase. with a bit of weight in the bag. So it feels like your hard-earned cash feels like this is a real, feels kind of heavy and expensive because I just spent all this money on it. Must be good. To unboxing it, to then onboarding, setting up your phone, to everything all the way out to I need a new phone and I'm going to come and return the phone to the store so it can be recycled. And all the other touch points within the organization. In the original definition of user experience in the 1980s, and I think Jobsian's idea of user experience is really thinking about, well, how does this product exist in the life of my customer? How does it improve the life of somebody? When we build Blue Ocean, we could just build a pretty UI. We had these discussions and it's like, well, we need a new UI for Jenkins. I said to them, oh, sure, we can add a little blue in the header and tighten up the buttons and stuff, but the experience of using it is going to be just the same. The colors are going to be different. To really think about user experience, you need to think about all of the different touch points that your user is going to have, not only with the application or the product, but with other applications and products all around you. Well, at Jenkins World, we announced we teamed up with Atlassian on Bitbucket Cloud and server integration, and we've allowed people to create these pipelines from Bitbucket Cloud and server in the way that we've been talking about it with Blue Ocean for the last year. Really talking to those guys, they really understand that in order for people to really be successful, for them to have that great user experience, all these things need to talk together and they need to complement each other. The way that I see that fitting into the future of things that we're doing with Blue Ocean is that today we have really great integration with Git version control systems. Tomorrow, things might have moved on. I don't think they're going to move on, just for the record, but the tools that people use and enjoy as new ones spring up that have a better experience than the ones that came before it, we have to embrace those and think about, okay, now that this is in the world of our user, how can they use our thing and that thing and get the best experience? It's almost like a standing wave of change. It's just change coming at you and you have to respond. If you looked at what happened before Jenkins 2, Jenkins itself didn't change. We were still shipping CVS integration in the default install. Subversion had been and gone as a popular tool and now we're on Git. The user experience of Jenkins at that point didn't make any sense.
But if we think about integration within technology, people expect their applications to integrate with something else. They expect their ERP now to integrate with finance applications. They expect stock control to be linked into sales systems. They expect that seamlessly. The challenge comes when it comes to process and it comes to people and integrating it into them. And for DevOps to really work, it has to include those people and those processes, not just the technology at the back end. When you set out with Blue Ocean to redo all this, how challenging was it to get a wide enough view, both from the internal teams and people you went and spoke to understand how to make that integration into those other domains so that whole experience was good and not just a little clumsy?
I guess I was lucky in some circumstance to end up here. Because prior to CloudBees, I was working for a startup in Australia, quite famous in Australia and in some other places in the world, called Canva, which is this online design tool. And they were really about removing the barrier of entry to design. If you're a small business, if you wanted, say, a brochure for your business, you would have to hire a designer and pay them a lot of money for a really good design, and then you might not like it. And so they cut out the middleman and provided a way online for you to, with some pre-canned templates, design for you. There was a lot of great things that I learned there. When I was working there, I was doing a variety of different tasks. And one of the things that we practiced, like lived and breathed, was DevOps. We wrote the application and we managed it in production. And some days you'd do a deploy and you'd come in the morning and someone would tap you on the shoulder and go, I've been looking at the error rates, they've been going up. And that was a small team of people. And we were able to manage a web application that had millions of users on it. That's just a phenomenal way of working. Prior to that, I had worked at Atlassian for 7 years, where I had been an engineer and a product manager. And so there was a lot of experience that I brought to the table before we started Blue Ocean. Being part of CloudBees and the Jenkins project means that you get in touch with an incredible amount of diverse groups of people doing all sorts of different things. Really, by the time we started building Blue Ocean, continuous delivery pipelines where the experts had already all agreed and moved on, this is the way that things should be delivered. We really just needed to give people access. They need access to be able to do these things and the language in which to talk about them. I think with all new tools, stretch back to like, you know, Agile and XP before it, the tools that the experts were promoting were the tools that the experts built for themselves and people like them. So I think there's almost not a commoditization of it, but certainly a consumerization of those practices. Continuous integration back in the XP days was like what you needed to do, but the tools to do CI were awful. And then Jenkins comes along and makes that easier in the same way that Canva's coming along and making this impenetrable process of design more accessible to more businesses. And you see that even throughout computing history, the Macintosh really allowing people to access the world of desktop publishing and make their own magazines and things like that, when that was a specialized set of tools and people involved and process, and it's very complicated. Tools developers, it's all about, well, here are these things that are really working, that are proven to work and have these great experts driving them, and then really drive some mass appeal by making it easy to use. And I think that's a simple way. And it is really hard to generalize. We often have this discussion about, if we generalize it that much, is it going to cut a certain important section of people out from using the tool? And so there's always a balance. You're trying to walk this fine line between the two, and it's quite difficult. Usually when I say no to people when they ask for things, it's usually because I haven't figured out how to walk that line carefully. And I think that caution has paid off.
Isn't that part of the challenge of DevOps? If we go back 2, 3, 4 years, we were talking about DevOps as a technology solution. Now, at this conference and others in the last 6 months, it's been about DevOps for anybody in the organization, not just about how do we produce software, how do we deliver software faster. It's about DevOps in every role, which means that the integration, the touch point, the user experience of the software has to be so very different for all those people. Did you have that in mind when you started with Blue Ocean, or has that changed your thinking over the last year?
That was part of it. If you read Jez Humble's book, DevOps is not just a technology and people thing. It's about breaking down the silos between people. I go back to that startup use case. If there were separate people building the application and separate people deploying the app, a separate bunch of people then managing the app, there's no feedback loop to the people creating the application to do better. And if it's the same person, you'd get a call at 10 o'clock at night, just got onto your second wine or whatever, and you're having a nice relaxing dinner at home, and then you've got to log on and fix it. So I think it adds a certain accountability back to the feedback loop. The further we can integrate other parts of the business into the feedback loop, I think the better the understanding of all the constraints and the actual effort and care and finesse that goes into delivering software. Yep. Which is really, Mark Andreessen is right, like software has eaten the world. Absolutely. I can't think of one business that has not been touched by technology in some ways. Even if there's the user of technology, there still has to be people who have to roll out those services. And you can point of sale systems in a retail space. They might not be writing software in there, but there's a hell of a lot of support infrastructure around making sure the point of sale system stays up and cash registers work and, you know, all sorts of things like that. So I think the more we involve our friends on the business side of things and give them that common language, the better we're closing the loop. Sometimes the engineer that's writing that code goes and has a half-hour chat with the CEO. I find that sometimes myself. Some of the best outcomes we've ever had for product development was when I sit down with one or two of the engineers and just go from the top, this is company strategy, this is the product strategy, this is where you fit in, and that's why what you're doing is really important because you're going to allow us to do this. I'm lucky to have lived and breathed in both worlds, but that's not true of every organization and every person. The more understanding we can create via creating that language and creating tools that make sense for people that are approachable, the better we're able to break down those silos.
1 year into Blue Ocean, what can we expect between now and Jenkins World next year?
Oh, that's a great question. Certainly, we're still not done with our pipeline creation journey and being able to create and interpret those things. So in the last year, we've learned a hell of a lot. These processes that people are codifying into pipelines that come in all sorts of shapes and sizes. So we really need to make sure that the user interface is appropriate for those scenarios, because certainly in certain places, certain sophisticated areas, it's not. And that actually gives a sort of poor user experience. I think about that quite a lot. It's like we could go off and build another skyscraper on Blue Ocean, but we ain't done yet. Really working on the pipeline creation as well. What I like to think about the potential gap between what power our technologies provide us and what our tools actually allow us to exploit of that potential. And usually the tools are lagging really far behind. If you take the example of 100 is the maximum potential of any platform that's available today, or any technology that's available today, your general tools probably might be only be able to exploit 20 or 30% of that 100, so 30 points out of that 100. Whereas a company like Netflix or Facebook or Google will actually invest a lot of money in tools. So they're more like 80 or 90% of their engineers being able to access that potential. So I call that the what's in the middle there is that potential gap. And so I think that even between what Jenkins is capable of and what Blue Ocean exposes, there's still a large potential gap, even just in creating pipelines, being able to author and codify those processes. So I think there's still a lot of work ahead of for us to reduce that gap. Other areas we're looking into as well are around giving visibility into code quality metrics. We have an engineer working on that at the moment. We're hoping as we go forward on the pipeline creation effort and really nail that down, I hope next time we're speaking next year that we've made some great gains in that area. But in the meantime, there are small parts of that user experience, whether it be integrations with code quality tools or great friends like Atlassian or GitHub, that we go deeper on those platforms as well and think about how expand our reach into the user experience, so the sea, the ocean, if you will, of the tools and processes around like what we do.
Sounds like it's going to be a very busy year coming up.
Yeah, we're going to need a lot more developers, I think.
Thank you for your time, James.
Thank you so much.